Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We were talking, and we continually talk about social media and comments that people make on social media. But it's China have now revealed that they plan to have every single comment reviewed before it's published on social media. Wow, well, that would solve our unemployment problem here, wouldn't it? But either way, let's understand what that means to the limiting of freedom of speech. William Bird is the director of Media Monitoring Africa. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on the program.
So, William, this news coming out of China, I mean, you can't check every comment. It's obviously going to be relying on AI, algorithms, machine learning, and all sorts of things, I imagine. But practicality aside, what does this say about freedom of speech and expression in China?
So, you know, on some level, it sounds like quite an appealing idea, right? You could say, okay, we're gonna get rid of all of the nasty and offensive and deeply problematic speech, hate speech, right? If you could say we're going to get rid of all anti-Semitic speech on social media, you'd be going, fantastic, let's do it tomorrow, right?
Absolutely.
The problem is who starts to hold that power? At the moment, it's the platforms that determine these things, and they're the ones that have that kind of capability, if anyone does, right? But what this is about direct state action to do this for a purpose that is only too easy to subvert it. You know, they just need to say, okay, we don't like group X, Y, and Z. Anything from any of the users who we know to be members or linked to members of them, we're going to triple check their stuff, and we're going to just, you know, make sure that it just doesn't go through. So on a fairly fundamental level, what it's doing is directly limiting and policing everyone's kind of format of speech, and that I think is hugely problematic. The fact that they are putting this out there as something that they think is a good idea, I think is really, really problematic.
Is there a pretense of freedom of speech in China?
No, I don't think that there is, you know, and I don't think that even the Chinese government would suggest that there's a great deal of freedom of expression there. I think that they don't see and understand rights-based approaches in the way that many outside of China would do, you know. So I don't think that they see that. I think they see this as a legitimate state action to combat enemies of the state or undermine things that are going to undermine what the Chinese states are trying to achieve. So I don't think that they frame it in that way. And obviously, clearly, in order to do this, they can't frame it in that way. But I think that for anyone that says, in as much as we may not like speech that we don't like, and as much as we may even be offended and upset and angered by speech, you have to allow different kinds of speech in order to, you know, foster different ideas, in order to advance debates, et cetera, et cetera. That's how we advance in many respects as societies, is through kind of conflict and clash of ideas, if you like.
Mm. Although Jenny says, for a long time we've seen the harm of Facebook and other social media sites. Maybe they at least being proactive.
Well, I think the answer lies not so much in that you have to say, ultimately, this isn't an issue, and what it points to is the difficulty of governing in these things, because what you've got now is a Facebook and a Google and a TikTok and these other entities that are more powerful than most states, right? And we've seen the direct examples of that. When the UK government called Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg to go and account to their parliaments, Mark Zuckerberg's response was basically, here's my middle finger, see what you like to do with it, right? And that's how they responded, because they don't need to even if you're talking about, you know, a formalized, established Western power like the UK, they said, no, we don't need to go there. So you've got very big, powerful interests there. And then you've got the state. The trouble is you don't want to be giving either of those bodies the ability to really govern these things, because we've seen that left to their own devices, Facebook wouldn't care about racism, you know, misogyny, hate speech generally. They only respond to it because of public pressure, because governments say, actually, this isn't something we can allow and tolerate. So what you need is a system that says we need to deal with these things in a far more meaningful and effective manner. But you don't want to put that power in the hands of the state alone. You don't want to leave it in the hands of the operators alone. So you need to make sure that there's really a genuine multi-stakeholder approach to addressing these things. You need experts and academics and NGOs to be involved in saying, well, this is the kind of things that we do need to do, and this is the things that we don't. So that you don't give that power to either a state on its own, as we're seeing with the Chinese government, or to leave it up to the platforms, because they won't.
So that's ultimately
that pulls them together.
But that's ultimately the problem. Is if the social media environments are not doing enough, and of course it's always a question: is what is enough? Because what I find offensive might be something very different to what you find offensive. So it that becomes the problem. But if they aren't seen to be doing enough, then I guess it is when government steps in. And I'm not supporting the Chinese government in this at all, because I do think that it's deeply problematic. But I understand the motivation on some level.
Yeah, exactly. I think all of us do have a level of empathy for that. You know, we know there are a number of things where we say, no, this is too far, this is enough. Why aren't the platforms doing anything about it? I mean, an easy one that I would hope isn't too controversial is when a journalist are attacked online for just doing their basic job.
You know, absolutely.
That kind of level of online bullying and harassment and threats is something that they should be able to do something about. And when you see that occurring repeatedly, you want to say, well, hang on a moment. These platforms aren't doing anything. The state needs to intervene. So I think that the key thing is here is to say, of course, the state has a role to play in addressing, you know, online governance and addressing these kinds of these different forms of speech. We see that in South Africa. You know, you've got the courts are there to deal with defamation, etc. You've got the Human Rights Commission to help address issues raised under the Equality Act, and including things like hate speech. But you need them to be able to work together with the platforms in a meaningful way to actually implement some of these changes. But you can't do it with either just the state or either with just the platforms, because left to their own devices, they'll take us in the wrong kind of direction.
William Bird, Director of Media Monitoring Africa. I'd love your thoughts, please. What do you think about any state, China or otherwise, getting involved with this, with the monitoring of online comments? Gimple says, can we say that the virus leaked from a Wuhan lab, or will they ban our kids from TikTok? Gimple, you can only try. Keep saying it, and hopefully they will.